Now we're getting here, change hats real quick. Oh, it tried to shut down on me, so we'll see if it's still there. It's still there, so you're in luck. Take your Bibles, first of all, and go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. When you first think about Lot, you might have seen there's just a little bit about Lot. But you will find if you continue reading in your scripture, there's really a whole lot about Lot and his whole lot. Not only his herdsmen, not only his wayward wife, not only his faithless daughters, his faithless son-in-laws, or those betrothed, not only the two great enemies of Israel who came from the sin of two dumb daughters, but even Lot himself. It seems a bit odd that Peter, great apostle, uses him as an example of how God can and does deliver the righteous and judges the wicked. Yet he does just that. And I think once we have a broader understanding, we can see that it all makes sense. It seems to me that sin reigned in the lot of Lot, and he didn't do a whole lot about it. And some would even say he contributed to it. The first mention I want to use, of course, is what I've invited you to already, 2 Peter. Peter here is warning about apostasy and false prophets, which bring with it all of that. And in the end, they're going to get theirs and what they deserve, swift destruction by God. They're going to get it. Never make a question in your mind and your heart about that. God will do right, and God will judge the wicked. Peter uses three examples. He uses, of course, the fallen angels who left her first estate, the fallen world, of course, of Noah before the flood, and then Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're going to pick up in chapter 2, verse 6. We've got a lot of scripture to cover. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Don't do like they did. That's the point, right? That's the point. And delivered, though, he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, there's a problem, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, Lot lived almost two decades, not 2 weeks, not 2 years, almost two decades in Sodom. Just stop and think about that. Even becoming a ruler at the gates, we know he's sitting at the gate, that means he's a ruler there at the gate, esteemed among them. Yet Lot was tormented day and night by their way and their wicked, not enough to leave, but he was tormented by their wickedness, and certainly not enough to disallow his daughters to become engaged to two of them. In all cases, of course, here, God saves the righteous and destroys the ungodly, among whom the godly live. And we are in this world, but we're taught not to be, what? Of this world. Now, Lot would be what we would call today a Christian. He'd be what we call a Christian. Yet he was very troubled, as a Christian should be, about the wickedness of sinners around about him. Amen. He did not participate in this wickedness himself. Amen. He entertained strangers, which is commended in the scripture, right? Even entertaining angels. He was considered by Uncle Abraham as a righteous man. And Abraham did not want him destroyed, nor his family in the wicked in Egypt and Sodom, or as a prisoner of war. All three of those occasions. So without question, there were virtues. Without question, there were virtues. I think there's some problems here as well. You know, it's very human that we should find both in the life of one called righteous. Virtues, but some problems. You say, well, preacher, you have some problems. Well, hopefully I have some virtues as well. Now, Abraham and Lot lived in a very, very, very pagan world. very much unlike what we have experienced here today, living today here in America. The vast majority of the world were absolute heathens. They were heathens. They were pagan people beyond what most of us could understand today. So in light of that, we may struggle, and I know I do, I struggle a little bit in understanding the standing that Lot enjoys in the Scripture, that he was a righteous man. We kind of look at the whole thing and say, man, he was righteous, but not really that righteous, you know. Okay? By the way, the overall point that the Apostle Peter is making is found in chapter 2, verse 9, and one of the major reasons why we believe God will deliver the saved from this age from his wrath and judgment during the tribulation period. The church will be out of here. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. And let this be a great comfort and great warning to us yet today. God's day of reckoning is coming. God's day of judgment is coming. As sure as there's a sun and the moon, a reckoning is coming. And it's not humankind's reckoning. It's not Trump's reckoning. It's not Putin's reckoning. It's God's reckoning. The judge of all judges. And all better know it. And all are warned to respond to God's grace and His love while there's yet time. And our Lord used this as a very warning also in Luke chapter 17. Flip over there and catch me there. I'll begin in 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. Leave the stuff. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Then the admonition and caution, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So the wicked people of the south and Sodom there, they ignored God. They ignored the righteous. They could have learned from Lot, but they didn't. They bathed in their wickedness. So did the engaged sons to be son-in-laws. The two daughters, even Lot's wife herself. So it seems there was not 10 righteous souls living in Sodom. There wasn't even 5. There was only one. And his name was Lot. So not 10. So did God keep his word? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yet there's a lot more of Lot back in Genesis. So let's go back there. Now, I know it'll be a lot, sort of like Little Liberty the other night, staying with us, made me an artificial play sandwich out with plastic. And she knew exactly how to do it, by the way, Mama. And I want to make you a sandwich, bringing it all together, but this one is real history. These things really happened. Now, we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 12, but we're not going to end there. We're going to end up quite a bit to the right in your English Bible. In chapter 12, verse 5, we find that Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. So it's his nephew. And all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. God promised Abraham, his seed, this land. Again, Abraham builds an altar to God near Bethel and he prays to God. He establishes himself there as a God-fearing man, a believer in God. And Lot is with him this entire time. Entire time. Famine found them out, and so they hooked them down to Egypt trying to escape the famine. And there we know that Abraham's wife was so pretty, he wanted her and asked her to lie about her relationship being his wife. Just claimed that you're my sister to save his skinny neck. She certainly caught the eye of Pharaoh. But they were soon found out and sent out of Egypt. Get out. So back to what we know today as Israel, they came. In Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, there's our man again, into the south. Into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So he was a very, very wealthy man. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, that same altar that he built, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called again on the name of the Lord. It's not the first time he called on the name of the Lord, so I say again. And Lot also, which went with him, had flocks and herds and tents. Lot was also a very wealthy man. But this region, the land, was not able to bear them. And every cattleman knows when the land is limiting his spread. And so the herdsmen started getting into trouble, arguing with one another about, well, that one should be for us and this one should be for you. So Abram, we know, offered his nephew Lot. Well, Lot, I tell you what, why don't you just pick a direction to continue your advancement and building your spread, and I'll go the other way. God had so blessed both of them, and Lot was with Abram all this time. He saw the righteous God and God's blessings and protection upon Abraham and upon himself. They both had expanding empires. And if you were going to think about it, don't think of it like a spread. It was more like an empire. In chapter 13 of Genesis, beginning in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. And he's talking about that garden, like the land of Egypt, and he's talking about the fertile lands there in Egypt, that thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. He stayed up there at the mountain region, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. It's one of the biggest mistakes he'd ever made in his life. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And that means even more than what we think. In chapter 14, we find wars are taking place and people are being taken captive, which is very common, very normal in war. And Lot got scooped up when Sodom fell and Sodom was sacked. He got scooped up in that. In chapter 14, verse 12, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So they took him, his family took all of his goods, all of his wealth, they took it. Abram, of course, he hears about all this, and he throws together a rescue party. They're sort of like Ross Perot years ago, you know. And Abram takes it to the enemy. Amen. He takes it to the enemy, and he brings them all back, including Lot, along with the others, his family, and all the goods. So God blesses Abram with victory and continues to bless him with grace. Verse 16, the Bible says, and he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot. Now, brother, still talking about brother, his relation, and his goods, and the women also, and the people in verse 16. So Lot now, he goes back, and now he continues to prosper and grows even in leadership of that wicked city, the wicked city. You could say the wickedest city of the south, Sodom. Now, Abram, of course, is given tithe here to Melchizedek. But nothing that came from Sodom. And that's a good point, because here, in wise action and wisdom, Abram wanted to maintain a righteous distance from the wicked. It's something that seemed to be a little lost on nephew Lot. Not keeping a righteous distance between the righteous and the pagan, the exceeding wicked of the land. God revisits his covenant with Abraham in chapter 15. Abraham made a sacrifice and God made a covenant with himself this time concerning himself and the future nation and the seed that should come out of this nation. We know he's talking about the Messiah. In chapter 16, Sarai and Hagar, the handmaid, take center stage, and Ishmael was the product of all of that. I would say not Abram's best day, to be sure. Would you agree with that? Not Abram's best day. I did say the righteous are not sinless. Didn't I indicate that? In chapter 17, we find old man Abram is now 99 years old. A covenant again is established. Blessings are pronounced, and he's now being circumcised at, yes, age 99. Now, this is officially when his name was changed by God from Abram to Abraham. All of this time, Abraham is a God-fearing man. All this time, he's a God-fearing man. Out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he's a God-fearing man. Right there. That's where it all started. Isaac's birth, of course, is foretold. In chapter 18, we find Abraham now sitting at the tent door when the angels of the Lord came for a visit on their way to destroy Sodom, to do so for their great wickedness. And you recall, Lot was not only living there, but he was a leader there. Abram made a feast for them. The promise of the son, of course, was given. We pick up in verse 16 of chapter 18. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. They had a job. And Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" The hammer's about to fall, right? The hammer's about to fall. There's going to be a reckoning. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know." Verse 22, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord." Abraham knows his nephew Lot is there. And so he starts interceding for the righteous. That's a good man. That's a good man, one who would intercede for the righteous. And Abraham then proposes, if there would be 50, God, would you spare? Would you spare that wicked city if there's just 50 righteous people there? And he goes all the way down, works himself all the way down to 10. In verse 32, "And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I speak yet, but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place." Finally, we come to chapter 19. The climax in the story pertaining to Lot. Chapter 19. Let's be patient now. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." He's a leader. That's where they took care of business, like the city hall, town hall. "Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night." You get that? No going out. "Wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." That's what my daddy would say. And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." They knew what they were going to do, and Lot didn't. But Lot didn't want them to see and hear all that would take place in the day, much less in the night. The debauchery in this city would be off the charts to any nice person living today. Saved or lost. Debauchery. The worst of wickedness and immorality was there. In verse 3, "And he pressed upon them," talking about Lot, "he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." So demonstration, unleavened bread, he's demonstrating his righteousness. "And before they lay down, the men of the city," now they go to bed pretty early, right? But even before that, the men of the city, I wouldn't mind calling them something else, but even the men of Sodom compassed the house round, both old and young, and everything in between. God help us. All the people from every quarter. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Now remember, the Bible is a polite book. And that "know" means what you think it means. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren," Brethren, kind of stepped in it there, didn't you, Lot? Do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. I have two daughters which have not known man, virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as it is good in your eyes. Oh, my word. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the roof, a shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house, the Sodomites, with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. In other words, they were still, even in blindness, still trying to find that door. Wicked. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Pretty straightforward. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws. Now they were just engaged. They had not yet been officially married. They were engaged before they came together. And he went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, those that you have some influence over, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Well, here's another problem. And while he what? What's the next word? Lingered. The men laid hold upon his hand. You must not have heard how urgent this is. And upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh no, oh not so, my Lord. Now, behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. Now that's true, which thou showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Maybe that fear kind of moved him towards Sodom and Sodom out of the hills. Behold now, this city is very near to flee unto, and is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, yes, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. So he interceded for this city. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Here's the reckoning. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. By the way, even Josephus, that great Jewish historian, testified that it was even seen and known, still standing in his day. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, verse 27, 28. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. The place was burning to the ground. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. Let's get him drunk. And we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. Incest. And they made their father drink wine that night. The firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. They got him blasted drunk. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made the father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. You recognize that? The same, the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of children of Ammon. Ammonites, you know them? Unto this day. These two people groups, born out of this incestuous relationship, became two of the greatest enemies of Israel of all time. Now, as I said, there's really a whole lot about Lot and his whole lot. Not only his herdsmen, not only his wayward wife, not only his faithless daughters and faithless son-in-laws, or would-be, not only the two great enemies of Israel came out of the sin of these two wicked daughters, but even Lot himself. Now, very briefly, I would like to offer you some observations so you in your mind can make a sandwich, but not an artificial one like Liberty made me. I want you to make a real one with further understanding of the historical account of the Word of God. Number one, Lot was loved. Lot was loved and he was taught of God. He was taught, listen, Abraham was not a man that he was going to hoard righteousness from others. He's going to want to share all of these things, all of these lessons, all of the communication that had come to him from God. He would have shared all of that with his family. That was Abraham. He was just that type of a man. So Lot was loved, and he's loved by God, and he's loved by his uncle. And he was there with his uncle to see all the great blessings of Almighty God upon his uncle and likewise upon himself. And the Bible testifies that he was righteous. He was a believer, yet not his wife. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Nor his two daughters, nor the two men engaged to his daughters who lived in Sodom. But Lot yet lived and led in the most sinful cesspool of the south, Sodom. But he was loved, and he had been taught better. Number two, we know that he looked. When given the option which way he should go and continue to grow and build his empire, he looked the wrong direction, wanting what? More. More. Paul taught some lessons about contentment, didn't he? He was already a very rich man. Yeah, what did he want? What did he want? More. So he looked the wrong direction, wanting more, always more, looking towards the wealth and comfort he could obtain without regard to the dangers of sin. That's playing the fool. Lot played the fool. He looked. Number three, he longed. It was not long. He looked, and now he's living inside of that city. He's living with them. One of the most wicked cities of the earth at all times, still used today as an example of wickedness. Still to this day. And that's where he wanted to live. He longed to be there. There are plenty of other places he could have lived, but he wanted to live there. Number four, he lounged. He got pretty comfortable there. He was vexed by their sin, but not enough to turn his daughters away from their type. He let his daughters get engaged to two men of Sodom. I would say this, and this is the way my daddy would say it. It really matters where you hang your hat. You understand what I'm saying? Where you want to abide, where you want to stay, what you want to hang around. It matters where you hang your hat, the type of people you want to be around. That matters a lot. A lot of Proverbs are to teach the young man, be careful who you hang around. Be careful about that. It can be your undoing. He lounged. He was there. Plenty of other places he could have lived and operated. So he lounged there. He got so comfortable. Now, number five, he lost. Now, he didn't lose his salvation, but he lost. He lost big. He lost twice. And the second time, it was for keeps. And even more. Akin to something like Job, he lost his wife, he lost his son-in-laws, his fortune, his daughters, yet he alone was saved. Out of the wicked, he was saved. And that's the lesson from Peter. The Lord knows how to deliver the righteous out of the ungodly. But they're just delivered. Doesn't say, you know, how much gold in they have their pocket after they get delivered. He had a bunch in his pocket before, but because of his foolishness, now he has nothing. And number six, the way I would say this is, he loaded up the bases with Israel's enemies. Now, he did this not directly, you know, willing to do so. They got their daddy blubbering drunk to do this deed. But they were already wicked girls. They were already wicked girls. These people groups, they came from an incestuous mating of these two wicked girls with their own father. They became a thorn in the flesh to Israel, much like the Ishmaelites. Much like that. Yet Lot was spared and redeemed, shall be spared hell. Yet he could have been spared much more grief. And I find there's similarities between Lot and a lot of people living today who name the name of Christ. Lot would be what I would kind of term by the definition that I find in the New Testament, a carnal Christian. Abraham, we would call one who's following after the abundant Christian life. Abraham was far more discerning, though he was certainly human, he made his mistakes. But he's far more discerning than nephew Lot. Would you agree with that? Far more discerning, much more walking the path of wisdom, not only right, but being wise, being discerning. So when the king of Sodom says, well, you know, go ahead, and he said, oh, no. I rescued you, but I don't want anything pertaining to you. You see? I don't want anything. I want nothing to do with that. That's what a southern boy would say. I don't want nothing to do with that. You keep that stuff away from me. I don't want anybody to ever say that you blessed me. All right? Now, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from Lot. I wonder how much Lot afterwards wondered about his life, what it would have been like if he'd followed more of the pattern of Uncle Abraham. He would have had plenty of time to do so. And many people at the end of their life have plenty of time to think and kind of work backwards through their life and think, you know, boy, I really blew it there. And boy, that was a bad decision. That was a killer. That changed our lives forever. They're still going to heaven, and praise God, they're still going to heaven. But what could have been is now gone. And you can't go back and relive it again. Abraham was wise to be content and kept his distance from the great wickedness of the world. Lot was carnal, and Abraham was a faithful Christian. Did Lot escape the destruction of Sodom? He sure did. But there are more dangers in the world than just the dangers of Sodom. And Lot kind of failed at some of those. And he lost. He lost. Now, God loves you, and I love you. And I don't want you to be like a Lot, but a Lot are. You follow me? I want you to be far more like Abram. Nobody here, including God, expects us to be perfect. But he sure would rather us be like Abraham than be like a lot of the lots of this world. I love you, and I would rather you have great rewards in heaven than just getting to heaven, save so as by fire, as Paul talks about with the Corinthians. I'd rather you get there and have less that you're grieved over in the poor decisions that were made. Because I tell you, there's a lot of wickedness in this world yet today. So remember Lot's wife, remember Lot. I learned all the lot of lessons from Lot and his lot. Lest you end up a lot like Lot and a lot less like Abram. Now I ask you, use your mind, use your heart, use your understanding, what you understand of the Scripture, members and guests alike. Take this now. Build a sandwich. Thinking about every piece. Top bread, bottom bread. And as I make one every once in a while, Dagwood, I put another piece of bread in between. Because I want to eat one sandwich and not two. And then I'm looking for some cheese on both sides, you know. And some meat. I don't like to eat just a sandwich with just cheese. Let's grill cheese and we don't have any ham to throw in there. But I'm looking for some meat in there. And then you're going to have some, like my wife, you have lettuce, tomatoes. She likes the onions, the purple kind. And mayonnaise. She likes mayonnaise much better than she likes mustard. Mayonnaise. Not salad dressing. Mayonnaise. And then you get all that stuff on there. And I want you to think about that now. This is Lot's life. What can you learn from Lot? And then I want you to learn those lessons, a lot of lessons from Lot. And then I want you to dedicate yourself to go out and teach your family these lot of lessons about Lot's lot and a lot of lessons that we can learn from Lot. And do better than Lot in your decision making. Because I'm here to tell you, I love you. But there's not one of us that's going to ever be able to go back and do it again. What's done is done. And all you can do is ask the Lord to forgive you for it and to move on and learn your lessons from then. And do your dead level best never to fall prey to that again. Never. God help us all. Let's stand for prayer.